Well, hello, everybody. This is the coach, Bill Sparkman. And first of all, thanks for joining today's business building session. I'd also like to thank Security National Mortgage for sponsoring today's podcast. That does make a pretty loud statement about their commitment to your business. Now, I know that you had many options today, and you chose to join today's call. So I'd like you to make that a good choice by listening for, you know, for the one idea or the one strategy that you'll actually take action on. You know, today there's no lack of ideas, that's for sure. In fact, maybe there's too many ideas that come to you every day. And you may get so many new concepts and strategies and ideas that they just become a distraction. So listen for your nugget today. And again, that one nugget that matches your style and your personality for growing your business and generating more listings. So here's my objective. We've got a short time together. I want to deliver to you some tangible tools that you can use and strategies that are they're currently working for other agents that I might be coaching today, as well as working for myself. And they may just work for you. I want to help you generate more saleable listings, and I think the key word there is saleable. The other day somebody asked me, well, how do you define saleable? Pretty simple. I've got a motivated seller, and I've got a property that's priced correctly. We just don't make any money taking listings from unmotivated or unrealistic sellers. You know the ones that want $50,000 more than their property's worth because that's what they paid for it 4 years ago, and they want you to find them a house that's currently on the market, and they want to buy it for $50,000 less than they're asking. You know, again, those are the ones that actually cost you money working with those types of buyers or sellers. In fact, that may be a key sales skill today, and that one key could be discovering or revealing your seller's motivation or urgency. Do they need to sell, or do they just want to sell? And I think that's a great place to begin with every seller you speak to. So I'm going to show you some ways that you can actually get lucky along the way to generate more listings. And I like luck. I teach luck. I don't think it's a coincidence. Luck's pretty much a choice. You can get up every day and decide to be lucky if you put some of these strategies in place for yourself. But these will be some of the ideas that you can use to generate more listings using my top 10.5 strategies. And when we get done for joining today, I've got some cool free stuff for you that I will that I'll give you at the end of the call. So stay tuned. I kind of want to start at the beginning, and the beginning today, and it's a new beginning in many areas across the country today, and especially in the area that I live in, inventory is dropping. You know, we use the 5 month the bar of available inventory. When inventory is less than 5 months, it becomes a seller's market, and it's happening in most areas across the country today, which opens tons of opportunities. Now, to become a successful listing agent, I say that you've got to have the right systems and the right strategies in place. I do believe that it's those agents I'm coaching that are really focusing their time and their attention on building a great listing inventory for themselves is one of the ways that they create balance in their life and actually have a better control of their time. And I think that comes from having saleable listings. Interesting, NAR said in an article this week that 95% of all listings are listed by and controlled by 5% of the agents. You know, that just tells me that over the last period of time, more people have been concentrating working with buyers on the buyer side of the transaction only because we were really experiencing a buyer's market. So now that the market's starting to shift, I think we're going to see those numbers change dramatically. So it takes a great, by the way, it takes a great listing presentation to start with. You know, before I give you all these strategies on how to get more listings, I think you've really got to have a great presentation in place. And I think it begins with your personal competitive advantage. You should be able to at least offer me as a potential seller why I should hire you. I think you have to have a great story today about yourself. I call it your 10% difference. I think that every seller that I've ever talked to, I let them know that 90% of what I could do for them to get their home sold, every other agent in this county can do the exact same thing. And when you think about it, isn't that really true? 90% of what I can do, you could do the same thing. Virtual tours and the MLS and the IDS and all the things that we offer, 90% of it's all the same. But here's the 10% that you get when you get me that you'll get nowhere else. And I think that's a fair question from a potential seller, is why should I hire you? What makes you different than the last three agents that were just here 20 minutes ago? So I think it's something we've got to think about. And I think that it does become part of your competitive advantage. But again, it can't be because you're just a great marketing person. It's got to be something, I think, that strikes the interest and makes a great difference between you and other agents. And by the way, once you figure out what that is, I suggest that you record that and put it on a CD. And I could show you how to do that for free. And maybe the CD is just called My 10% Difference, Why You Will Hire Me to Sell Your Home. And that little CD, today it's part of our pre-listing package. And, you know, it doesn't really even matter if the prospect, the potential seller that you're going to be speaking to even listens to the CD. You know, it's only 30 or 40 seconds long, really, maybe a minute. But clearly it gives me that opening opportunity when I do meet them to say, by the way, did you have a chance to listen to the CD that I sent you? And I always presuppose that they didn't, so I say, so let me just recap. what I gave you on that CD was what I consider to be what really separates me from every other agent in the county. So I think it's just something, I think it's a fair question, and I think you have to have a pretty stable answer. And then lastly, another tool to use before we get all these strategies for getting more appointments is what I call the six factors. And what the six factors is, it's just a flyer that I use that I give to a Mr. and a Mrs. if there is one involved in the listing appointment. And it just says the six factors that are going to affect the sale of your home. I want to get this out right at the beginning, because if I take a listing and it doesn't sell, whose fault is it? It's always my, you know, it's always my fault. It's the agent, the listing agent. So I want to let the seller know that there really are only six factors that's going to affect the sale of their home, and that the seller controls three of them. And I think that it gives us that opportunity to let the seller know that there's three things they control that I have no say over. Number one is the price. I'll give you everything I can so that you can come up with the price, but you control the price, you control the terms, and the seller controls the condition. Those three things, right out of the six, are three that I can't control. The market now controls two of the things out of the six. Two factors is controlled by the market. Number one, timing. That's just economic conditions. Buyer's market, seller's market, as well as competition. Number of similar homes in the market, supply and demand. So now that's five out of the six factors that affect the sale of a home that I have no say over as the listing agent. So that just leaves one out of six, and number six is what the realtor controls, and that's simply marketing. And that is showcasing, promoting, and positioning your property. And that's what I can control. So I want to get off this so we can move on. But I think this is a pretty critical step, if nothing else, because other agents that they're interviewing, they don't bring this up. Other agents want to tell them all about their great website and all their Facebook pages and their Twitter and all the people that they, all that stuff that doesn't really matter to the seller. The seller has to see a difference between you and those that they're talking to. So anyway, I guess it's showtime. That's all. You know, it starts with showtime, and I think we've got to utilize your energy and some of the tools that we'll have for you available to generate that saleable listing, or the listing if you want it or not. You know, the number way to get more listings, by the way, somebody asked me the other day, emailed me, what's the number one way I can get more listings? I said, pretty simple. You got to go on more listing appointments. Now, that may sound rather, elementary, but if you want to get more of anything in this business, you got to do more. You want more listings, you got to go on more listing appointments, and then be able to convert those listing appointments into saleable listings. I like the initial appointment, by the way, to be in my office. Let's see how to say this. I like home field advantage, first of all. I want to have the potential seller, the listing appointment, take place in my office. you know, there's less distractions. I think those that are on the call today, you could probably relate to those listing appointments that you've had in somebody's home. And, you know, you've got two dogs licking on your shoes. You've got kids running around. You got the phone ringing, two TVs on. And I'm trying to make this great presentation. So I kind of like it in my office. So less distractions. In my office, I can go over the statistics a whole lot differently. When I present the statistics on, active listings, the competition today, I actually call those the market rejected homes. And market rejected means, especially if they've been on the market over 30 days, the market is rejecting these properties. I go over the pendings like you do, what buyers are buying today, the closed, the comparables, all that, the expireds. Now, with the expired listings and the market rejected properties, those that have been on the market over 30 days, I like to be in my office so I can go onto my computer, I can show them some of those properties, and what I do is I just ask them, why do you think they haven't sold? Why do you think that these homes expired and did not sell? And it's great. I like to hear some of their input. As they're looking at some of the pictures, you know, they may say things like, well, look at that, you know, look how cluttered that house is. No wonder people didn't buy it. It doesn't even, anyway, they come up with these great ideas of why homes don't sell. So that when I do visit their home and we do take that next step, you know, I might be able to utilize some of that, when I get to their house. So I think this is the opportunity that you can really take to really start to reveal that want or need. I've got my price in mind. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure you have yours. I like to just ask the seller, what price did you have in mind? I like to get that input, see right back to that realistic or unrealistic. Price is just... price is just related to time anyway. If a seller wants to sell for $100,000 more than the market value of the property today, I'm not going to tell him he can't do that. He can get $100,000 more than the property's worth. It may take 3 or 4 years, that's all. It's just time. That's why I always have a quick sale price. I've got a 30-day price. I've got a slow price, and I've got a maybe never price. I mean, you pick the price based on time. That's why you always ask that question, how soon would you like to move? Anyway. Well, enough of that, but I want to set that foundation. Great listing presentation. A 10% difference. Tell me what makes you any different. Give me the 6 factors that are going to affect the sale of my home. Let's set up that home field advantage so that we can really create that opportunity in a different way. Now let's talk about how to generate more listing appointments. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it'll be listings. Just because I've generated an appointment doesn't mean that I'm going to take that listing anyway. But here's my 10.5 ways to generate more appointments. Let's put it that way. So number one, I'm going to start with some of the easier things that, in fact, some of the tried and true that you may have either eliminated from what you used to do, or maybe have never tried for one reason or another. But starting at the very easiest. Number one is just farming. I like farming. I like farming the old-fashioned way, and one of the reasons is so few agents even do it anymore. It's the way I was taught, kissing babies, shaking hands, getting excited about real estate, going and talking to people about real estate, finding out if people are thinking of buying or selling. I mean, I don't know why so many agents feel that that's so intrusive, knocking on somebody's door to ask them if they're thinking of buying or selling. That's my business. That's what I do. But I kind of like farming. I like to. I don't use any scripts. I know that's very different from many trainers that tell you, "Boy, you got to have a great script when you knock on a door or talk to somebody." You know, for me, the script is get excited about what you're doing. Have something good to say. Be curious, and I think it can start with that. But farming at the bottom rung of the ladder, we'll just start with farming. I suggest to my agents that they have at least 2 different farms, maybe a move-up price range farm, a first-time home buyer type farm price range, because of the lead generation strategy we're using for first-time home buyers and move-up buyers. Number two, I like social media farming, or what I call e-farming. E-farming is... a couple of examples of e-farming. It would be one would be creating a Facebook business page for the farm that you currently are farming in, or it could be the subdivision you live in. Let's put it that way. Let's say the subdivision that you live in, and you have that opportunity to create a Facebook business page. And a Facebook business page is very simple, not just a Facebook page, but a Facebook business page, which allows you to do some things that you can't do on a Facebook page, like advertise. But create one for the area. It takes five clicks, very simple. And now you've got an opportunity to actually talk to the neighborhood about something that you've done that is going to be a benefit to everybody in the subdivision. I've created for our subdivision a Facebook business page where we can all go in and if you're looking for a babysitter or you have a bike to sell or you're having a garage sale, you have a forum. You have a platform to talk to all the neighbors. And it gives my agent a good reason to go and speak to all the neighbors in the neighborhood. Hi, I'm Bill. I live around the corner on Wilson Street and just wanted to let you know that I created a Facebook business page for all us neighbors here. So it can start with that. Now, on that particular page, you'll have to take my word for this one. You could generate more leads from all of the gabbing that goes on between neighbors in the area where you live, or it could be a farm, another farm area. Maybe you could have two or three of these, by the way. So you can generate listing appointments just by having that Facebook page in place. Now, on it, what are you going to put? You're going to put things like what's going on in the neighborhood, what's happening in the marketplace, things that are interesting to those that go and visit the Facebook business page you've set up. Now, you also want to create value so they'll come back. And the value that we do is I highlight a small business in the area every month, whether it's a restaurant or a cleaner's or a hair salon. I highlight them on the Facebook business page. I just go to that particular business and say, hey, would you like me to highlight your company? I do marketing and advertising as a realtor in the area where I live. I'd be happy to highlight your business. If you'd be willing to offer maybe a 10% or some kind of a discount, I'll put you right on there. And we've got 400 people in my area. And anyway, it's something that I can offer as value. But at the same time, I'm in sales. And as soon as the small business says, yeah, that'd be great. If you could do that, I'll give 10% off, off the cleaning for the month of whatever. Perfect. Now, how would it be okay if I put some brochures of mine up in your establishment? You see, that's the overall purpose, is I'd like to get more of my flyers up in the hair salons, the cleaners, and the pizza places. But I'm doing it by asking, and first of all, by giving them the opportunity to highlight their company. So there's just things that you can do there. You could create a subdivision website. That's another part of social media marketing in your particular subdivision. Now, on the Facebook page, it would say the address would be facebook.com/ the Highlands community. Most subdivisions have a name. Now, the subdivision website, that's another free. That's a free strategy. We haven't had one yet that's cost any money. That one's free. You could go to nextdoor.com, neighborhoodlink.com. These are great tools for creating a website just for your neighborhood. But again, I want you to stretch your mind and see how these can also be a vehicle to generate more listing appointments, and that's the whole purpose of the call today. So we've got farming. We've got social media or e-farming. Let's see. Number three is farming old expired listings. Now, this is farming or calling or prospecting expired listings, nothing new. We did it in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. This isn't like, oh, there's an idea. But it's how we're doing it today that's a little bit different. I'm one that likes to prospect old expired listings. The ones that expired yesterday that are going to get 50 calls from agents today, there's too much noise going on with that potential prospect. It's the ones that expired 3, 4, 5, or 6 months ago that we spend all of our effort, our energy in prospecting those. And the reason is, first of all, there's less people calling them every day. The second reason is it's just all about timing. Things change in people's lives. Their home was on the market 6 months ago. It was on the market for 6 months before that. It didn't sell. Time's gone by, And I'm not really sure why it didn't sell, but maybe things have changed. It may be time to put it back on the market. So I kind of like the old ones. We're contacting them in some different ways. We're using QR codes. We're mailing. This is an interesting one for you to consider. We actually mail them a QR code of a letter that I was sending out for years. But instead of sending the letter, we just turn the letter into a QR code by going to QRstuff.com, oneqrcode.com, just making the flyer look like a QR code. And we just mail it to the expired listings. And, you know, part of the letter says that I've got some pretty creative marketing strategies. We're using today's new technology, not yesterday's, to reach today's buyers. Well, if that's part of your message, why don't you let your message be creative? Now, once again, I'm coaching an agent that said, yeah, but what if they don't know what it is and they don't scan it? Well, they don't call you anyway, so what's the difference, all right? I'm going to take the chance that they are going to scan it, or they've got a teenager that knows how to scan it, and then that letter is going to make a little bit of sense, because on their phone, when they scan it, it's going to have a message about my creativity. And given they're looking at their phone, reading my message, I got a chance of actually giving them evidence. So enough of that, farming old expired listings. Number four. Another one that's not new. I don't know if there's any new ideas anyway. Do you know what I mean? All I do every day, like you, is try to just put a different spin on some of the things that we've done in the past, like expired listing. That's not new, but we're spinning it a little bit differently today to get better results. Number four is farming for sale by owners. Yeah, it's not a new one. Done that a long time. We're doing it different today. We're doing our for sale by owner strategy. We do a co-marketing strategy with our loan officer. I have a system that's off the shelf that absolutely dead-on works, not just to generate buyers. We do that by offering automated lead generators to the for sale by owner, but it also is another great opportunity to generate listings. Given 87% of all for sale by owners either don't sell or list, you know, I just got to have a shot. But I've tried every other way. I've knocked on their doors. I've used every approach that I could think of, but it's my system today, and I think the key word is system. My system today has done a lot to create as many listings as it does creating buyers, and it does both, by the way. So if that's something that you would like to talk more about, talk to your Security National Mortgage loan officer about my system for generating listings using the for sale by owner strategy. Number five. Well, I want you to consider number five. I'm gonna call it database marketing only because that's sort of a universal strategy. But I want to add a little muscle to it for you. I love database marketing. I think your database can ultimately become your ATM machine. Every single day, we're looking at ways to get more opt-in permission-based marketing contacts into our database manager. So first of all, that's not a new idea. That would be your closed clients, your referral sources, your prospects, your sphere of influence. Everybody that you can build into that creates the opportunity for database marketing. I read another interesting stat not too long ago that only 16% of sellers use the agent that sold them the home to list their home. I didn't say that very well, so I want you to consider this. The agent that sold them the home, only 16% of the consumers will use that same agent again when it becomes time to sell their home. I thought that was pretty interesting, but I actually know why. You look at that and you go, are you kidding? And 87% of those queried said that they were satisfied with the agent that sold them the home. In fact, they'd refer them to their friends. They'd refer them to their relatives. They did a good job. But only 16% went back to that same agent. That's a killer. That's one of those mind blowers. Wait a minute. You love me, but you didn't come back to me. Well, I think that it starts, one of the reasons is just lack of contact. They forgot about you. That's all. And you know how it is. They just forgot. So I think one of the reasons we do database marketing is to keep yourself, your firm, top of mind with those that you've already had business with. Now, this database has to be in a marketable format so that we can utilize an e-marketing strategy. And I say a marketable format, I don't care which one. There's plenty of good ones. Top Producer, Wise Agents, allclients.com. They're all good. I like one that's a killer, and it's free. It's just called moresouls.com. I love that database manager, not only because it's free, but because it works, and it's easy, and I can consistently keep myself top of mind with that database of my contacts. And then it's got to be consistent. For me, it's monthly. I'm sure you've heard of people say, no, you send something out every week to your closed clients and your database. Well, for me, that's a little intrusive. Average person's going to move every 7 or 8 years, and you're contacting me every single week about how great the market is and rates are low and you should get a new house. It doesn't make sense to me. I think monthly, 12 contacts a year is great, plus your one phone call a minimum a year on the anniversary date of their closing. And then it just have something good to say. Have it be relevant. Share some good news. You know, we've seen here in the last few months some good news happening, and I think it's our responsibility to share that good news with everybody. You know, let everybody know things aren't bad anymore. Things are getting good. If you're looking for something else to send, I want you to, if you're not using this, take a look at Lowe's, the hardware store, whatever they call it, the Home Depot, Lowe's. They produce an incredible newsletter for realtors to send to their closed or to their database, and they produce that newsletter monthly, and it's really good. First of all, it has your picture, your contact information, links to your website, your Facebook. It's got all your information on the newsletter. It's all done by Lowe's, and it's got some pertinent and relevant good information for a homeowner. They have one newsletter for prospects or buyers. They've got one you can use for sellers that are already living in a home. And it's got just tips on home improvement. It's got strategies to use to get your home ready to sell. It's just good stuff, and it's free. See, if it's free, I'm signing up, all right? It's got your kind. It looks like you went to Lowe's and created this whole thing. If you just go to lowesrealtorbenefits.com, you have to be a member of NAR to even get this. I mean, in my business, I'd love to use it. I can't even get it because you have to be a realtor. So just take a look at lowesrealtorbenefits.com. Great newsletter. And it gives you something that's built in, it's automated, and you don't have to put a lot of maintenance involved with it every month. So that is one reason I know you'll probably use it. Okay, number six, just solds. Oh, there's a new one. Well, not really, but here's the problem. Most of the agents that I'm coaching that are new in the business, they don't have any solds yet. They're like, well, that's a great idea, but I didn't sell anything. Well, wait a minute. What says that you can't use a just sold postcard or a mailer or whatever you want to use, letting neighbors know that a home just sold, even if it wasn't yours? It didn't say you sold it. You sold it. It just said just sold. Your neighbor at 214 Wilson have just sold. If you'd like more information, contact me. Didn't say I sold it. we get as many leads from the just solds that we didn't sell as the just sold door hangers that we do sell. But again, it goes back to be the first one. 95% of agents today think it's a good idea, but they don't do it. They don't even put out just listed when they get a listing. And I always wonder, why don't you do that? Well, you know, I just don't have time. Well, okay, then I'm going to put one out. Just listed, home down the street. And again, I didn't list it. I didn't sell it. But if you want more information, contact me. For me, it's like be first. Sometimes you win because nobody else showed up. Okay. For those that aren't doing some of the marketing and prospecting strategies that we've always done, I'll see if I can't fill in the blanks. Number seven. Now, I'm going to say your website, and here's what I mean. I want your website to be, to be a lead generator versus a branding tool. And so many agents today, they utilize their website, or they think of it as just a way to brand themselves. They try to get visitors to their website. I'm not interested in visitors. I'm interested in I'm interested in lead generation. And if I can't put my website or turn it into a lead generation tool, then it's just about branding. And I don't need to brand myself. McDonald's, Burger King, you can go branding. I just have to figure out a way, how can I get more listing appointments using my website? And I think it can start with one of the things you can do that's easy and it's free is it can start with just adding an audio welcome to your website. It's interesting to me that less than 2% of all realtors have any audio welcome even on their website. They got me there. You got somebody to get to your website through all your marketing or advertising. But once I get there, you don't even welcome me for stopping by. I always think that's interesting. I look at your website as a store. I want somebody to buy something in my store. So adding an audio welcome, for me, that's the first thing you can do. It does a couple of things. It makes a human connection. Somebody goes to your website, and at least they hear your voice. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about video? Well, video is great, but for 90% of the agents I coach, it's a little bit out there still. Audio, anybody can do it. It's free. It's downloadable through a service that I'll give you. And all it does is say, hi, this is Bill Sparkman. Thanks for visiting my website. I'm glad you stopped by. Now, it does give you now the opportunity to give them a call to action. And by the way, before you leave, take a look at my new whatever. But again, it gives you that opportunity, very short, 20, 30 seconds. We're adding a button. No, we're not adding a button. We're changing the verbiage on a button about a year ago that's made a dramatic difference in the leads we're generating for potential sellers. The button is the one that we've always had that said, something about what's the value of my home. That's not a new, it's on, you know, almost everybody's website. But what we changed the verbiage to say is, what did my neighbor sell their home for? You know, between you and I, it's the same question, right? But you see, people are nosy. And by changing the verbiage, it let people just be nosy. But for you and me, we still got the lead of somebody that might be thinking of selling their home. Because when they hit that, see, the audio welcome again could say, hey, thanks for visiting my website. Be sure to take a look at what did my neighbor sell their home for if you're interested in what's going on in the neighborhood. In fact, I'll tell you what everybody sold their home for. Anyway, you've got that, but it gives me the opportunity to get an opt-in, permission-based contact that I can put right into my database marketing. So you've got that opportunity, but I think it can start with your energy through an audio welcome, make a human connection, and then have some things on your website that could turn that visitor and that click into a real contact. And I'm going to give you something else you can add in a minute, but you'll get that as well. Number eight is a home selling course or a class, not a seminar. But if you're looking for more listings, by the way, I need to get a group of people together that might be thinking of selling their home. I like group selling. So we're putting on a class today called Selling Your Home 101, where we invite FSBOs, we invite everybody in the sub. We just make that invitation. We hold that particular class at a library. It's a neutral location. It's not at the real estate office. It's at a library. The reason it's a class or a course, we've gotten a lot more attendance once we've changed from putting on seminars to putting on classes and courses. There's just a different, when somebody thinks of a seminar, I think people are thinking they're going to be sold something. This is just a class. Now, you can promote that in your farm, expired listings, Craigslist, FSBO. You can have your loan officer inviting the FSBOs that the loan officer is working with to attend the Selling Your Home 101 class. Now, if you want to really kick it up, I want you to – here's a way you can create instant credibility, and I think a bigger reason for people to want to join, and that would be by authoring your own book. Now, just bear with me. See, I say that if you've authored an e-book about selling your own home or selling your home, at least you've got more credibility. Somebody might want to come and listen to you. Hey, you wrote the book on whatever. So I want you to go to the PLR store again. PLR, it's the PLRstore.com. And the PLR store, it's a vendor. It's public label rights. They sell articles, they sell reports, they sell books, they sell e-books that are all ghostwritten. And when you buy one, you get to be the author. They release the authorship rights with the e-book. Pretty cool. I looked at one this morning. There's a title of an e-book in there called Home Sellers Power Tips. 99 tips for selling your home for maximum profit. Now, what if you authored that book? Hey, I've got a seminar coming up called Selling Your Home 101. It's over at the library, and I wrote the book called Home Sellers Power Tips, 99 tips for selling your home for maximum profit. All of a sudden, there's just something different. By the way, that particular book is not even $6, and you get to be the author. And it also includes a 33-minute audio. I mean, come on. let's go back to your 10% difference. Let's see. Part of what makes me different that you get with me that you don't get with other agents is I wrote the book on selling your home. I wrote the book on 99 tips for selling your home for maximum profit. I mean, come on, that's like a no-brainer. For $5.99, plus I can send them a 33-minute audio. Now, of course, you want to read the book, you know, and given that it comes to you in a Word document, and you've all seen e-books, they, I mean, they look just like a book, and when somebody wants your e-book, you just email it to them. I mean, this is too cool. Hey, how about your website? Hi, before you leave today, be sure to get a copy of my new book, Selling Your Home for Maximum Profit, 99 Tips. You can utilize that particular book in a lot of different ways. But within, I'd say maybe 5 minutes after we get off the phone today, you could be the author of your own book. Now, let's say that you're looking for more buyers. There's all kinds of books in there, The Home Buyer's Guide, Eliminating Risk When Buying a Home. You could be the author of whatever book you want. Oh, you want investors? There's books on investors. It's about positioning yourself and elevating your credibility. That's all it is. I want more people to come to my class, and it can be from that. So I want you to take a look at theplrstore.com, and I think stretch your mind and then start thinking about what you could use. See, it's not just to have a book. Now, how are we going to use it? That becomes the key. If you said, hey, Bill, I'm taking down this book, I'd say, great, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to market it? What's it going to be good for? So what, now you wrote a book. Oh, I'm going to use it in your enrolling into your classes. Oh, okay, that makes some sense. Anyway, enough of that. Number 9, open houses. If you're thinking, well, what good's an open house for generating listings, appointments? Well, I think we have a new open house strategy. That's not a new idea. But our open house strategy starts on Thursday. It's not on a Sunday going, maybe I'll call the seller to see if I can have an open house. It's a little deeper strategy than that. You know, it starts on about Thursday. It starts by inviting all of the neighbors. See, that's an old idea that very few, I mean, I can't think of one agent that I've been coaching that tells me that before they have an open house that they go in the neighborhood and invite all the neighbors to come down and stop by. It's pretty simple. It's not a cold call. Saturday morning, you could take 20 houses in the neighborhood and go, hi, I'm Bill with the real estate company, and I'm holding the Wilson's home open tomorrow, Sunday, from 2 to 4. Love to have you come on down. Give me some input on the home. We're having cookies and punch. Just that, now you've made a contact. You've made an invitation. We even asked for permission to put in one of our directional signs. How many of you do that? Just going up to the door on a Saturday and say, hey, by the way, tomorrow I'm having an open house down at the Wilson's, and would it be okay if for a couple hours I put my directional sign in your parkway? I mean, it's more than a professional courtesy, but it's just kind of another way to make a contact. And, of course, we've got other tools along the way. We've had people attend those open houses that even have their homes listed. I didn't invite them maybe, but they still come by because their agent isn't even doing some of the things we're doing. Number 10, mobile marketing tools. Now, I want you to think about this not only as a lead generation tool, but as a tool, again, to generate more listings, and here's how it works. I'm not a flyer box guy. Well, let me make that even more defined. I wouldn't use a flyer box on a listing if it was the last marketing tool available. Now, if you're not going to use a flyer box and you're going to use some of my strategies, you have to have a pretty good story because a seller's going to say, well, don't we get a flyer little box? All the other homes have them. And I say, yeah, when was the last time you went by one that had any flyers in it, number one? Number two, how do I follow up with people that go by at midnight and sneak one of your little flyers out of your box? So I have to put together mobile marketing strategies where I can utilize not only the lead generation, but also as tools to generate more listings. But the key is I'm not a flyer box guy. I think if you're looking to nail down a listing, I don't think you can just tell a potential seller that you use mobile marketing. They go, what is that? I think you have to demonstrate some of the tools you're using. Now, we're using things like audio tours, 24/7 talking ads, information hotlines, text code marketing, QR code marketing, single property websites, all of those things I think you have to demonstrate. Now, if you're thinking, well, how do you get listing appointments by using all those lead generators? Well, I go back to people being nosy. Neighbors that are thinking of selling are nosy just like everybody else. When they have when my for sale sign is on the front yard, there is less of a chance that they're going to call me for information about the market than if they might call one of my automated tools where they know that they don't have to talk to anybody. If you have a listing under 200,000, we're still using our payment yard signs. Payment yard sign just says, own this home for $614 per month, APR, compliance, blah, 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 and it's got our information hotline number. See, again, it's creating curiosity, but at the same time, it's showing the tools we're using. Now, how about this one? Somebody already has their home listed. They go by one of your listings, and they see all the different type of marketing you're doing to create some curiosity. Their listing is going to be expiring someday soon. They may want to talk to you about all the marketing that you're doing that their particular agent they have today is not doing. So there's a lot of different reasons, but I think you have to demonstrate some of the – don't just tell somebody that you use a 24/7 talking ad or an audio tour. Show them how it works, and I think that that begins to do a couple of things. It helps you nail down the listing, but I need these tools in place with my mobile marketing to help generate the possibility of more listing appointments. So, again, these tools are not just for generating leads. I think the average agent still today uses the three Ps for marketing listings. You know, put a sign in the yard, put it on the MLS, and pray. I mean, that's their marketing strategy. You and I, we've got to utilize, I think, today some of those things that get left out by others. And I think that's also how you nail the listing. I bring up a lot of this because I know other agents left it out in their presentation. They didn't bring it up. They didn't tell them why we would use text marketing on a home that's listed under 200,000. They didn't explain to them that the average first-time home buyer is 28 to 32 years old, and they use the telephone and their thumb. They don't call a phone number. They text. You see, we market to who is driving by our neighborhood anyway, so part of it is that. Number 10.5 is out-of-area investors. If you're looking for more investors or buyers, either one, or listings, we're farming out-of-area investors. They own a home in the city that you live, but they live in North Carolina, or they live in another state. They've had a bad landlord experience. They got transferred. They couldn't sell their home because they were upside down or what have you, so they just rented it out and moved, and all of a sudden that's become a burden. That's called timing. We have a whole farming strategy just for out-of-area investors because I've got two or three different leads there. I've got an investor. They might either want more or maybe want to get rid of this house. I've got the person that lives in the home that they're renting a house. That could be another lead. So I could generate a buyer. I could generate a listing. And again, we're getting these particular leads either from the tax records or in some cases, depending on the state that you're in, we get these leads from our title company. So it almost goes back to farming. What's that like, five different ways to farm? I've got the old-fashioned way. I've got social media e-farming, farming old expireds, farming FSBOs, farming in out-of-area investors. That's just the farming strategies that we've got. That's enough ideas. Here's the summary. If you got one nugget, act on it quickly. Don't overanalyze it, overthink it. Go to the PLR store and take down a book. $5.99 is expensive. They got some for $1.99, $2.99. Get your book. Even if you don't know what to do with it yet, you've taken down the idea. You've got it into action. And then I believe that it's practice, not talent, not ability, that will get you to the next level of production in your business. It's being willing to do some of those things over and over. I know you can't do everything we talked about today, but I know you can do one thing. And what you do in the next 24 hours, I think, is going to speak volumes about your future. Some people, the temptation after a session like this or call is just go back doing what they were doing, business as usual. Some of you are going to take an idea and make that change, and I think that's the potential that we've got for a new result for all of us. Now, here's some cool free stuff for you from Security National, from me, but they pick up the tab. If you're not already a member, I'm offering you free membership to my members-only Real Estate Resource Center. It's just got a 24/7 audio library. It's got a lot of marketing tools. It's got game plans. It's got articles. It's got anything in there you can swipe if you want and put it on your Facebook or your blog. It's password protected, So whoever invited you today, just let them know you'd like to have access. I'll send you a username and a password. I'm also offering you a free web review. I review 5 to 7 realtor websites every day. If you'd like me just to take a look at yours, give you my thoughts, my comments, maybe a couple of ideas on how you can turn your website into more of a lead capture machine, I'd be happy to do that. That's $59 value, $99. So you got about $150 just for calling today. See that? Sometimes you win just because you showed up. Also, if you'd like a copy of that 6 factors flyer, I've already done it for you. If you would like a copy of it, let the one that invited you know, and they probably either have a copy or I'll send them a copy, and you can have that as well. Yeah. So with that, I want to thank Security National Mortgage for hosting the call today and sponsoring, and thanking you for taking out the time. That's a big investment, 49 minutes for a realtor out of the selling game. So make that time worthwhile for yourself. And I'll look forward to talking to you all on the next Business Building Call. Have a great week, everybody.